Good morning, a Wednesday morning, and that means Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, David.
Well, let's start with the fact that in the Capital Region, school budgets have still not been posted, and that's against state law.
Yeah, so this is the second year in a row we've done an analysis on whether the Capital Region school districts are complying with this new state law that was enacted a few years ago that said that they have to actually post on their websites a line-by-line budget, just like the one that they would actually use in the budget review process. And after those budgets are approved in May by voters, the districts are supposed to post them online on their website. For the second year in a row, we found that a number of districts have not complied with this. In our latest analysis that we conducted this week, at least 12 districts in our region have not posted the current year's budget. So yesterday, our education reporter, Zach Mattson, was working and calling around the districts who didn't post it. A few of them put the wheels in motion and actually went and posted their budgets yesterday. But others had a variety of reasons, saying things as to why they had not posted it. One budget director said that he thought it was posted. And when we checked back with him later, he said, boy, there's a spot for it on the website, and I don't know why it's not there. And he promised he's going to get it done. Some other districts, you know, have posted various budget information like summaries with just some very cursory numbers, or their newsletters that they send out to voters, but they don't come anywhere close to complying with this state mandate. When we checked last year, actually, noncompliance was much worse. About half of the areas, 50 districts that we cover, had not complied. This year, only about a dozen. There's improvement in that regard. But it's important to us, and I think it's important to advocates for openness in government about why these should be posted. We also, for our story, talked to Bob Freeman at the State Committee on Open Government. He points out it's a win-win situation. The districts, if they go ahead and post the information, that means they don't have to respond to every little request for public information for people asking about the budgets. And he also points out, and this is the part that really hits home for us, is for almost all local folks in New York State, the school district taxes are the largest share of our property taxes. So there's a lot of interest in it. And we get calls all the time, people asking about information about their school taxes. And we do the best we can to follow up on it. But this is a tool for actual taxpayers to have access online themselves.
Miles, let's go from there out to the Mohawk River, where there are more flood monitors in place, and that's probably a good thing based on the amount of flooding that occurs, including with ice jam flooding every year.
Every year in Schenectady County especially, and also Montgomery County, there's always a lot of wariness about what the flood level will be and ice jams on the Mohawk River in the wintertime. Coming off last year where we had a huge ice jam, the biggest one anybody could remember, about a 17-mile ice jam all the way from Lock 7 in Niskayuna back up past Amsterdam to the west. So this year, the latest development in the effort to try to get on top of it, to monitor ice jamming and also water levels in the flood season, the Schenectady County Legislature voted this week to spend some state Homeland Security grant money to install some additional cameras to watch both the flood levels and the ice jam levels at Lock 7, which is in Niskayuna, cutting over to Clifton Park, and then also at Lock 9 over in Rotterdam. These are some key areas where they try to watch what's going on. There are already some cameras along the Mohawk that the United States Geological Survey maintains, but the Schenectady County Legislature is saying that we need to do a better job at getting real-time data to be able to potentially declare an emergency, to warn residents along the river that they need to leave, or to get more information out to fire departments in terms of assistance with this. So it's an ongoing problem every year. And this is, you know, this isn't going to stop the ice jams, but this is an effort for them from a public safety standpoint to try to be more on top of stuff. It's not too long ago, I remember when we would cover these things, the way that they monitored these things, you know, would have volunteers or county employees or fire department employees down by some of the bridges on the rivers, looking at the measuring sticks and reporting back to their supervisors. So this is an effort to be able to do that monitoring from a remote location at 24 hours a day. So the county legislature will vote as a full board next week whether to spend the money, but it looks like it will go through easily. The committee that handles it, the public safety, voted unanimously to pursue this. This is being done in conjunction with a bigger state effort that commenced after last year's really big ice jam concerns, which fortunately didn't result in a lot of flooding. But last year, the state really started paying attention a lot more to this ice jam issue along the Mohawk. They have put up a $500,000 for a DEC study of the entire Mohawk River watershed to really examine what the causes and the effects of ice jams and flooding along that corridor. But this study will be the first major look at this in memory at all to get a sense of what is causing this problem and what they can do going forward.
Miles Reed, editor of the Daily Gazette, joins us on Wednesdays. For more, head to dailygazette.com. And there's more of our conversation online at wamc.org. Miles, thank you.
Thank you, David.